downloads.
Well, what do you think of your first appearance in the Marvel Universe?
Oh, let's see. Where? Let's see it. Right off. Need a photo. Okay, opening it up now. Oh my god!
I'm in a notebook.
There's things on me.
There's no thing on me.
Movie Madness!
Hello and welcome to the Age of Ultra. I am one of your hosts, Andrew Randrew Roebuck, and today I'm joined with my non-robotic cohort.
That's right, I am left on the cutting room floor, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and welcome to Movie Madness! Sans David, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here, Dennis. Which is sad, he's moving this weekend, a whole 30
door.
Feet from his house.
Oh, yep, he's going, making a big trip. I mean, it's a big step for him. I mean, maybe it's just one big step, but it is a step.
I mean, you know, it's no, you know, defecting to North Korea or anything.
They wouldn't take him, so...
You know, I was so mad when he didn't come home with some random, like, Asian bride.
Oh, jeez.
But still, yes, so Dave could not be here with us as we record today's show, which is our spoiler-filled review and discussion on Avengers Age of Ultron.
Spoiler, there are no strings on Age of Ultron.
Exactly, and if you look at our album art, there are no strings on Roebuck either. Some of the most fun Photoshop I've had a chance to do recently. I think every Movie Madness that it's a weird topic, I'm going to take one of the host's head and slap them on the poster.
I'm sure it will offend some of your listeners, because, as you know, my mere mention of my name can drive some of your listeners into a sheer anger.
Oh, yeah. In fact, before we start today's show, me and Roebuck were talking about the cornucopia of stupidity that is my Facebook. Let me tell you, folks, I do not believe in censorship. I am a big believer in freedom of speech, freedom of the press, but that does not mean freedom of consequences if you say something fucking stupid. And there are some people, I'm not going to name names, but I'll see somebody and they think they're Mr. Cool. And they post quite often on my stuff. But let me tell you, with some of the stupid sexist shit that you say, let me tell you, it is not a wonder you, my friend, are single. You fucking idiot. Oh my god. There are some stupid motherfuckers. I'm glad you're my stupid motherfucker. But still, let me tell you, I've said this before on my Facebook, that my Facebook is like, it's like talk radio. I've got a place for everybody. I just don't have a call screener to weed out the loonies.
That's why I'm here.
Pretty much. You are my call screener. You are my producer that keeps away the idiots, or in some cases brings them right in.
I'm about to say, I actually probably just bring them more to the forefront.
It's definitely going to be one of those days, folks, let me tell you.
A man says something vaguely feminist? Kill him!
In which, of course, folks, and I'm glad Andrew mentioned that word, because you know what? We have to address the big pink elephant in the room that is Age of Ultron, and the debacle involving Joss Whedon and the Black Widow. We're going to address that a little bit today, because it's got some merit, yes and no. There are good and bad sides to this argument. But Disney just keeps digging the hole deeper, so it seems.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just one thing after the other with the Black Widow character, it seems. Like, it's all of a sudden, oh, nope, she's not getting a spinoff film. Oh, she's not in any of the merchandise. And now people are having, like, some troubles with her portrayal in the actual film itself. So it's just kind of a little worrying that it just seems like Disney hasn't really done anything to remedy the solution, really. Like, I haven't yet seen, like, a response by some Disney exec who's like, you know what? Here's all the awesome toys you want. And I think the person who's dealt with all of this the best has got to be Mark Ruffalo. Because early on in the debate, he, like, made a call out to Disney and was like, I want something for my granddaughters to play with. Like, I would like there to be some cool Black Widow merchandise. And then he had a really interesting, probably a good paragraph and a half speech about the sexism controversy in the movie itself. And he does it so well because it leaves room for discussion. Like, he's not instantly like, you're stupid, I can't believe you believe this. But he's more like, I don't think this is the case, but your views can still be valid. Let's talk about this. It seems to be how he's handling the whole situation.
Absolutely. And one of the things that to talk about the Black Widow controversy, and let's, you know, we'll just start off our review today with that discussion, because, you know, it's on a lot of people's minds. I'm big into merchandising. I love the toys. Hasbro usually produces some really cool stuff. And most notably, a lot of female characters are really short-packed. Either they're really hard to get because they're not available so many per case. They're really hard to find because they're short-packed, or they're just simply not there. Now, in the movie, there's a moment where Black Widow blasts out of a Quinjet on a motorcycle. Arguably one of the coolest moments in the movie, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there is a toy based on this. It's called the Psycho Blast Quinjet. All right.
Okay.
Captain America is now on that motorcycle instead of Black Widow.
What? Really?
Yeah, that is... There's no ifs, ands, or ways about it. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, because that's, like, one of her cool big moments. And, like, it doesn't... It's literally nothing to just add her character in.
Yeah.
Like that.
Now, I had this discussion on my Facebook, or I can't... Once again, the cornucopia of stupidity.
Sorry, did you say discussion?
More like...
More flailing around in the darkness.
Yeah, more like flailing around in the darkness. I've had some people argue, well, female toys just don't sell, and Disney is aiming a lot of their marketing towards the Disney princesses line and all that crap. And while that may be true to a certain extent, it's not like there's not a market for cool Black Widow or Scarlet Witch toys, because I'm pretty sure in the Marvel Universe line, which is the 3 3/4 inch line, which is like basically their version of G.I. Joe's, I'm pretty sure I've seen a Scarlet Witch figure. In fact, I'm 99% sure. I know there's a Black Widow figure. I don't know whether they did a Gamora, though, but I know in the Marvel Legends line, which is like the 6.5 inch ones, which are really, really, really hyper-detailed, I know there's female figures. And if you want a really good line of merchandise, unfortunately, it's definitely meant for the collector, not so much for mass retail consumption. There's the Hot Toys line of figures, which I recently acquired my first one through a contest through Sideshow Collectibles. I got a Thor, which is an awesome rendition of Chris Hemsworth. But I know there is like a photo-accurate version of Black Widow for Age of Ultron. There was also one for Iron Man 2 or the Avengers. There was a Black Widow, and it's like having a mini Scarlett Johansson in your house. That's how realistic this thing looks. Like, there's, you can even see the pores on her face.
Wow.
Yeah, these things are like holy shit. But I don't see why Disney wouldn't embrace the fact that this is one of your cooler female characters. I mean, its parent company, Disney ABC, I mean, they recently renewed Agent Carter for a second season, so that shows they believe in the strong female character.
Yeah, and there are, like, tons in the Marvel Universe. There's tons of really good female-led comic books right now. It just seems like it's the merchandising side that isn't really on board as much.
Yeah, for, like, whatever reason. Now, there is some Black Widow merchandise that I actually neglected to mention, and some other female merch that no one seems to talk about, but there was the Disney Infinity series. Marvel stuff, because Black Widow was one of the core characters you got in the starter pack. You also could get Gamora, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, I'm 99% sure of that. You could get her in the Guardians of the Galaxy set.
You could, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if there are any other female characters out of the core sets. Not that I can think of.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Because Ronan the Accuser's a guy.
Or is he?
Yeah. He's one of them transistors, so I'm sure someone will give me mail for that one. Don't worry, guys, I'm on your side. But yeah, it's really weird just to see why Marvel wouldn't embrace this. The fact that it's made so much money, and it's going to make so much money, would now not be the time to take a risk and see if it sells.
Yeah.
Or maybe if they're that worried about it, make it a Disney Store or Marvel.com exclusive. See how well it sells.
Yeah, I mean, like, take Star Wars, for example. There's, like, a whole clothing line called Her Universe, and it's, like, all built on, like, doing, like, nerdy T-shirts and fangirl stuff that specifically, like, is targeting women. And, like, it's doing really well. So, like, there's a marketplace there, and there are a lot of fangirls who want to take advantage of it. So, I don't know. I just think that it would be, a good idea for the mainstream side to go into that.
Well, here's something I don't get, is if you look at some of the kind of merchandising that exists, why is it I have a hard time getting a figure that, like, for Black Widow, yet I can get a fucking Mon Mothma from Star Wars? Why the hell do I need Senator Mon Mothma on my playset when I cannot have Black Widow jumping out of a fucking Quinjet?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, legit sense. So, I don't know. Now, a lot of people are saying Black Widow's role in the movie, let's talk about that next, is one where she's sort of, it feels very forced, where she's forced into this romantic subplot with the Hulk, Bruce Banner, and she's a monster because she can't have kids or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. The line felt a little weird, but I didn't think that it was trying to, like, demean her as a character. It seemed to just kind of be trying to, like, actually, like, give her some depth. I don't know if it worked 100%, but it seemed more of, like, a genuine try to give more backstory and more meaning to the character rather than demean her in any way. Now, the capturing part near the end was also a little questionable, but not really, because she still gets out, like, a secret coded message, and then she, like, goes on to, like, make it so that the Hulk is actually back in the fight. And so she does have, like, legitimate purpose.
Yeah.
In the rest of the fight.
Although, I question Ultron's motivations for capturing her. And I saw one argument for this, and I think it makes a lot of sense. If we assume Ultron is sort of the dark mirror that is Tony Stark, he wants someone to monologue to. He wants a captive audience.
Yeah, and, like, what I noticed is that Ultron has, like, actual emotions. When Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver leave, like, he's hurt because he asks them not to leave. Like, he doesn't go, I command you not to leave. He, like, asks them and goes, please don't leave. And when he's got Natasha captured, he's like, you're here and I haven't killed you because you're the only one left. He desires human connection. And, like, he desires at least one or two people that he can call, like, his friends. Because it feels like he honestly cares for Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, even though, like, he's responsible for the death of Quicksilver, but, like, he wasn't trying to kill Quicksilver. And even at the end, when Scarlet Witch comes to, like, take out his robo heart, he, like, says, like, you're gonna die, you have to leave, like, I don't want you to die. So, like, he seems to actually care about those two characters. So it was I think that's kind of where the whole monologuing idea comes from.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they did humanize Ultron in that regard, although he seems like not the Ultron I would expect from the comics, though.
No, he wasn't like the comics at all. He was completely different. I think that they made, like, an entertaining villain, but, like, if you've read the comics, he's not as big of a threat as he, like, has been. Because, like, in the comics, like, the entire Avengers combined can barely take him. Like, it's a huge struggle, and they really, really almost fail every time. And if they get out by the skin of their teeth. Whereas in the movie, they kind of take out Ultron, like, the main Ultron even, pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, Ultron, I mean, all things considered, they kick his ass relatively easy. And that's, if I did have one complaint about Avengers Age of Ultron, is that it seemed a little too easy overall. I mean, because ultimately, they knew where he was almost the entire time, or at least it wouldn't take a great leap of logic to figure out that's where he was going.
Yeah.
Going back to Sokovia and Baron Von Strucker's castle, which it kind of sucks to see Baron Von Strucker reduced to like five lines.
And then killed?
Yeah, like done.
No. What they should have done is they should have just like shoved him away, like get him arrested, and then like use him in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Like that would have been like the perfect avenue for that, I think.
Well, they did have the one guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the episode. They did have Dr. Wish or Dr. Wiss. They're the other white-haired guy beside Von Strucker, which that's sort of a blink-and-you'll-miss-it cameo.
Yeah.
Which they did fill in, how did S.H.I.E.L.D. get a helicarrier? They did fill that in via Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which that felt a little heavy-handed. That was Theta Protocol was building a helicarrier.
Which, yeah.
That felt a little out of place, but you know what?
And they had a bunch of little helicarriers. And they just, like, rescued him. See, what I find is odd is that, like, at the start of the movie, it's implied that they've been going around fighting Hydra bases for a while. Because they talk about how this is the last one, and they're talking about their raiding parties. It feels to me like that would have happened between, like, 1 or 2 months. So the question remains is, like, what is the timeline like for... say, like, at the end of Winter Soldier, and what is going on? Like, how long of a time is that? Is it, like, real time, where it's considered to be probably about, like, a year or 9 months or so?
Yeah, because, yeah, you're right, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because if we were to assume things happen in real time, the Fall of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been established. Cap is no longer in hiding randomly, which that's something to pay attention to as well.
Yeah. Also in that regard, Iron Man has no, like Iron Man 3, like you cannot even watch that movie because it doesn't matter. At the end of Iron Man 3, he goes, I have too many robots and I have they can be hacked and they can be used against me. So he blows up all of his suits and like completely like detonates his lab and just goes off. And then in this movie, he's like, no, I'm just going to have more suits and robots again. Like, I get the Iron Suit, but, like, the Iron Legion seems completely the antithesis of what he supposedly learned in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like, what's the friggin' point? And now he's living full-time in Avengers Tower now? Like, I don't know, just things... There's a lot of little plot holes that don't necessarily add up. And I know there's someone screaming at their thing right now, like, but guys, it's Marvel, it's Age of Ultron, you're supposed to love it. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I really did like this movie, but in a lot of ways, it feels like one of the Marvel movies that has the least at stake, but it sets up a lot of stuff. Like, this is sort of... I don't even know how to describe this. Like, it just... It's an awful lot of setup, and some of it feels... unnecessarily forced, like the Thor stuff with the fucking dream or whatever.
Let's go into this pool and see this stuff. And like, when you learn more about like the behind the scenes stuff, and you hear that like that was something Whedon didn't want, but the fact is that whole scene exists, one, to semi set up the Infinity Gems, but mostly to set up Thor 3 Ragnarok. Because it's supposed to, like, set up that, like, Asgard is just going to hell.
Yeah, and there's another scene, actually, I just thought of this just now. You realize Age of Ultron completely depends on, I hope this is what he does? in the beginning of the movie, Scarlet Witch fucks with Iron Man's head. And he takes the scepter back to his place, discovers there's an AI inside of it, blah, blah, blah. The entire movie relies on a set of plot convenient, it just so happens moments. I mean, really think about that. I mean, because what if Tony got the scepter and had no intention of building the Ultron program? And that's another thing, too. There's one point where Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are saying to, we sat under a building for 10 days next to a missile labeled Stark, waiting to die. They never have that moment with Tony where they say, hey, you tried to kill us. They never have that moment of resolution. There's no dialogue to say, you know, hey, we're fine now.
Yeah, no, I also agree to that extent of Vision. When Vision shows up, he doesn't really have anything to say to Tony. And, like, they don't talk. And I, like, that was what I really wanted, a conversation between them. Because, like, after Tony, like, semi-creates Vision and, like, gets Jarvis to go in, he doesn't have any real interaction with him. Like, Vision walks by and says he really hates you and, like, makes some stuff about, like, knowing how Ultron feels about Tony. But he never talks about, like, he says he's not Jarvis. But, like, you feel like he would talk to Tony and, like, there would be a conversation between the two. Or that Tony would be just way more interested in his existence. Because, like, even at the end of the movie itself, Tony is just fully willing to just leave Vision. And, like, not, like, have any more further follow-up with him. Whereas, like, you feel like he has kind of, like, he knows he's an AI, but, like, he kind of had, like, a good relationship with Jarvis. And, like, when you find out, if you watch, like, Peggy Carter and you find out that Jarvis was, like, his father's butler, it even adds more to the credence where you think, like, I think Tony would care more. I don't know. And, I mean, I don't want to completely rag on the movie because I did like it. There's some amazing action sequences that are really, really good. And the tone of the movie is fun. Like, it's still a fun, watchable movie that's better than a lot of movies out there. It's just not what I was hoping and isn't as good as the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's getting a pass just because it is the Avengers sequel. And like I said, there are some problems with it. Although, to that, there are some really good moments in it too.
Oh, for sure.
I like the fact that Hawkeye got some real love.
Yeah, no, that was cool. Although, like, it's really cool if you don't know behind the scenes stuff, because, like, if you're paying attention to his behind the scenes stuff, it almost felt to me like, oh, it was because he complained about not getting enough screen time. That's why he's getting more screen time. But, like, if you just take that out, because it's not fair to judge a movie on that merit. So, like, it was nice to see him given some more stuff. So, I also really liked just, like, the snarkiness and, like, the dialogue from Ultron. That was really fun. And, like, a lot of the dialogue and the comedy scenes come out really well.
Yeah, like, it feels like a Joss Whedon movie, and that's a good thing. I mean, honestly, having the witty dialogue between everybody, especially that Cap bit was like, Cap, language. That I thought was fucking brilliant. I had a lot of fun with that. Another moment that I really like is where Ultron gets thrown out of the Quinjet.
And it's like, yeah.
He's like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It's just so matter of fact. I love that. I mean,
some of my favorite lines is, I gotta just love the Thor, you're annoying me. And, like, then he starts, like, fighting him. I love stuff like that.
One of my other favorite moments was during the like, Hulkbuster fight. And Iron Man thinks he's got the edge up on the Hulk, and he punches him. The Hulk spits out a tooth. And just the color completely drains out of Tony's face with, like, I'm sorry. And yeah. Then he gets his ass kicked. That I thought was, but like, there's so many good moments like that in that movie. It's hard to not notice the bad stuff. And part of the behind the scenes thing is Joss Whedon has given interviews where he said, I had to cut an hour from this movie, which means I wonder what this movie would have looked like with that hour added in, because there's certain things that feel cut. Like, it feels like some of the Black Widow stuff was cut from, like, her flashback scenes.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. I wonder if people like Claw, because Claw has the appearance, and like his role is amazingly short. Like, it's like almost non-existent.
He's in there for maybe 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, then gets his arm chopped off.
Which I guess that sets up Black Panther, I guess.
I guess he's going to be the villain of Black Panther.
Whoopee-doo.
Okay, yeah, I guess. And okay, think about this. We're not going to see Black Panther movie till like 2018.
Yeah, that's like, what the hell, man? Because
Spider-Man, for all the good that Spider-Man's back, it also pushed a bunch of movies back. So like, some of the stuff set up in these movies, we're not going to be seen paid off for at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, that's not cool. I mean, honestly, yeah, that's kind of sucks. The fact that they're waiting this long for stuff to play out. I mean, even Thor Ragnarok, that's what, 2.5, 3 years off?
Yeah, like, for sure. And, like, we won't see Thor again until that. Because is Thor Ragnarok after Civil War?
I think it's before. I'm pretty sure it's before.
Now, Civil War stuff was, like, kind of set up, but, like, then it takes some step back. So, like, because Tony and Captain America end on a pretty good note. Like, they're not bitter enemies, or they don't have any, like, big confrontation in the film that isn't resolved.
Yeah, I mean, you could see a little bit of, you know what, maybe we agree to disagree. And yeah, that's pretty much about it. Now, recently, they've talked about Captain America Civil War, and that begins shooting, I'm pretty sure, this week.
Oh, nice.
And the entire Marvel Universe has been cast in that movie, and I'm not even kidding when I say that.
Oh, like, so all of the players are coming? Because I heard rumors that, like, Thor wasn't going to be in it.
Yeah, Thor's not in it, but pretty much everybody else. I mean, it's basically Avengers 2.5.
Is Hulk in it?
They haven't announced it, but it wouldn't surprise me. If him and Thor sit out, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I guess because the way I saw it, like, Vision was, like, being introduced as, like, a Thor-level power. So they had another, like, really heavy hitter. And I almost thought they were setting it up so that, like, Vision and Thor would be on opposing sides of Civil War and they'd have to, like, duke it out. But I guess since Thor's not in it, they won't be going that route. But
yeah, I mean, just, I don't quite know how to feel about it. I think if any movie is going to trip up the Marvel Universe, I think it honestly might be Civil War.
Yeah, because I don't know how they're going to cover that in one movie. Like, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen for one movie. Like, I don't know, because it's going to be, like, way different from the comics, but I almost wonder, is the Marvel Cinematic Universe big enough for that?
Like, I kind of wonder if Civil War should have been two movies.
Yeah, like, I think that would make more sense than to doing, like, the Infinity Gauntlet saga into two movies.
Well, see, I think Infinity Gauntlet, having it split in the two movies does make a fair degree of sense, because that's a pretty big storyline to tackle. And the fact that it's taken pretty much 10 years to set up when you really break it down. But still, Civil War, that's such a huge event in the Marvel cinema, in the Marvel universe as a whole, because that lasted like what, like over a year and change?
Oh, yeah.
And so many, like, crossovers?
So many crossovers, and like so many characters in all kinds of different places that end up completely changed by the end of that. And like, it's going to be weird because there's going to be like a few Marvel heroes that it could like center around, and them being Spider-Man, maybe. Like, for identity-wise, if they're going to go that route, like, if it's going to be the identity thing, then it's going to have to be, like, Daredevil, Spider-Man, Black Panther, maybe, and maybe Ant-Man. Like, those are the only people that, like, I can conceive having, like, an actual, like, hidden identity.
Well, there's also, because this year on Netflix, they're also premiering AKA Jessica Jones.
Well, yeah, but will Iron Fist and Luke Cage be out by the time of Civil War?
I could see Iron Fist, maybe not Luke Cage by that point. But yeah, because definitely Daredevil would have a kind of stake in it. And so would Jessica Jones at this point, if we're including the kind of Netflix stuff in this stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be weird, though. I don't know if I can... It's going to be weird seeing Daredevil, like the Daredevil they present in the show, up in the Marvel Universe in, like, the Avengers style. Because that show is so dark. And it almost feels like it's going to be really hard to just connect it in, like, an actual movie.
So. See, I could see Daredevil teaming up with somebody for a one-off.
Yeah.
But I can't see the Matt Murdock from the TV series working with a team, because at the end of the day, he's a lawyer, and he does want to put these people away. He only does the Daredevil thing when there's no other recourse. Like for the kind of Kingpin stuff, yeah, he did his best to put him in jail. Not like he could have just beat the shit out of him. He could have just went for him, but he didn't.
Yeah, no, that's true. Oh, also, before we get too far off of just, like, what actually happened in Age of Ultron, what'd you think about Quicksilver getting, like, uncharacteristically and unceremoniously just killed? I honestly watched the movie the first time, didn't think he was dead. I didn't think he was dead till I read online he was dead.
I knew he was dead, and I kind of figured someone was going to die in Age of Ultron, although a lot of us had pegged it for Hawkeye to die. Because they wanted Civil War, or they wanted Ultron to have weight. I think the problem is, killing Quicksilver was maybe not the smartest move. Maybe they should have killed Hawkeye, especially after having all those moments in the movie. It would have made more sense. Because you see he's got a family, you see he had a life separate. For him dying to protect that kid would have meant he knew what it meant to be an Avenger. Then you could have had Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch say, oh, if I'm going to join these guys, this might happen. This is what I have to live up to.
Yeah, from Whedon's point, he said that it was kind of a fake out. Like, he wanted everyone to think that he would die. And I do kind of like that one of the human Avengers is still kicking around, because it does kind of ground the team a little bit.
Yeah.
Where, like, they're not all, like, super geniuses. One of them is just a really good archer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really like what was done with Hawkeye. I like the fact that he feels... I don't know. To me, he's actually my favorite Avenger out of the entire team. And I think I like the more human people, because they are simply that. They are human. They are highly skilled.
Yeah, I think for me, I think Vision was probably my favorite from this movie.
Although Vision was handled really well, especially with the whole handling Mjolnir thing. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, he didn't get enough screen time. People say that Ultron didn't get enough screen time, but I think, like, I wanted a little bit more with Vision. Because he gets some really cool moments in the film. But, like, again, Vision. When will we see Vision again next? Will it be Civil War? Because
yeah,
if
Civil
it
War.
Is,
that's what they're saying.
Because if it is, there's going to, like... Are we going to find out more about Vision's character in Civil War? It's probably going to be too stacked. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and what side of registration is he going to be on? My guess is pro. Because he believes he wants to save all life. And that's something, too. Like, looking at how are they going to set up Civil War? Because think about, like, who's going to side with Iron Man? Who's going to side with Cap? Because both have really good points. Now, if the Civil War was real, I'm siding with Cap. I'm pro-registration. Absolutely pro-registration.
Well, then you'd be... Iron Man. Tony.
Yeah, Tony. That's what I meant. Yeah, because you know what? Someone had said it, I think it was in the first X-Men movie. It was Senator Kelly, and I know that's a terrible example to take from this, but he says, there are people who have the ability to walk through walls. What's to stop them from walking into a bank vault? Or people who can control other people's minds.
But then, I mean... Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was about to say, the idea is having registered superheroes gives a level of accountability. It makes the government responsible. And with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for example, I know right now they're having the battle with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the real S.H.I.E.L.D., which is going to be resolved this week, which I won't get a chance to see till later, but still.
I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. and the real S.H.I.E.L.D., like, that's kind of dumb, but keep going.
But yeah, I mean, the idea of having the government be responsible for superhero teams, and then in the comics there's the 50-state initiative where each state has their own superhero or their own superhero team, so they've got a local response to superpower problems. I like that idea. The idea that the government can work together to solve these issues. And, you know, there's someone who can be held accountable. A vigilante, for example, like, say, a daredevil. Who's responsible if someone gets hurt?
Right.
Like,
I guess.
See, that's why I would be pro-registration. With a lot of caveats, mind you. Because, you know, sometimes you do have to go outside the law to get shit done. But at the end of the day, the laws are there for a reason.
Right.
What about you?
I'd probably side with, I don't know, it's interesting. I'd probably side with Captain America just because I don't, even if somebody registered, like, it's not going to stop the bad guys. Like, the bad guys are the big problem. The guys who are just, like, are tearing apart the universe and, like, just doing whatever they want. They're not going to just automatically go, oh, okay, I'll register now. Like, it just seems like a waste of money. Like, it's not gonna be an effective thing. Like, at policing it, and policing the people who are helping you, and, like, it's okay to, like, take a stance on it, but, like, enacting upon it would be almost impossible, I think. Trying to maintain the superhero registration would just cause so many problems, and I think it's, like, an unfathomable thing. That, like, maybe sounds good on paper. Like, the idea behind it is okay. But, like, trying to execute it would just waste so much time and money and wouldn't really help anyone.
Yeah, like, I'm very curious to see how things would work in Civil War. And like I said, I really think that's the thing that should be a two-parter. Is if you're going to give the scope of Civil War, and I want to see how they're going to pull off Stamford. Because that's probably... They're going to do their own version of Stamford. I want to see a real big fallout from that.
I don't know if they will do. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Like, they've said in the official synopsis, an event happens that something very, very bad happens and it affects the entire powered community. And I think with Civil War, you have a chance to go down a really dark route. And they were saying Avengers Age of Ultron was going to be the Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Universe, which
It's
not. I'd say Winter Soldier might be that, if anything. But you could tell a real dark but powerful story here. Because Civil War, it's about friendships being ruined. Loyalties being divided. It's about a universe tearing itself apart while trying to do the right thing. Because Iron Man's got a point and Captain America's got a point. I mean, like I said, pro-registration or anti-registration, you know, who's going to fall on which side? And by putting that into two movies, you have a chance to really explore each side and to really come to a good resolution. So, I don't know. I mean, somebody had also posted this online as well. Are we reaching the point of superhero fatigue? I think we're starting to see the very early signs of it.
It could happen if they don't keep up with their quality movies. Like, this one was still really good, but they're going to have to maintain the quality. And they're going to even have to up it a bit in order for it to really, really sustain itself.
Like, I'm worried about Ant-Man.
I'm less worried about Ant-Man now that I saw the trailer, because I think it just looks like a really fun comedy. I just hope it's good.
But it's not Guardians.
Right. And I don't know. That's interesting.
See, the my problem is with Ant-Man is, I don't know. I want to love it. I like Paul Rudd. I like Michael Douglas. I like the character of Ant-Man, but does Ant-Man not seem like he doesn't belong? Because, in essence, Ant-Man is Iron Man 1 again. Think about it. Because
I mean, I guess, but it's also really different because the character of Scott Lang.
Well, yeah.
I would say, like, I guess the general idea of it being a suit and that suit being, like, used as a threatening to control the world seems a little ridiculous in the trailer, but I think the actual execution will create, like, a really interesting character piece with a really unique set of powers, even if they don't entirely make sense, that will make the movie worth it as long as it's consistently funny and it's well-directed.
I hope so. And I want Ant-Man to add something to the overall cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm kind of worried about, is what are you going to add? But, once again, we've only seen trailers. No one's seen a rough cut of it that I'm aware of, because, although it would be in Final Cut by now, or at least, they probably got picture locked by now. They're probably just finishing up post stuff. Because it comes out in just a little over 2 months. So, I don't know. I guess closing thoughts on this. Age of Ultron, if you had to assign it a numerical value out of, say, 5, what would you give it?
Probably 3.5. It's still really a fun, solid movie, and I'll definitely buy it when it comes out, but it wasn't the 5 out of 5 that I think the original Avengers was.
Yeah, I'd be along the same lines here. Definitely 3.5 for me. I really enjoyed everything that I saw. I'm really happy for the Hawkeye moments, especially, because I know Joss Whedon fought to have those kept in there. I think Black Widow's character had a wonderful, awesome portrayal in this movie. I don't see her as a damsel in distress. The fact that even under Ultron's captivity, she was able to say, hey guys, fucked up shit's happening. Let's go kick his ass, and basically played possum the entire time. You know, I'm very curious to see what the extended cut's going to be like. Because I know there was an alternate ending shot for this movie where Quicksilver survives and becomes one of the new Avengers as well.
I mean, my thing is, will the extended cut ever see the light of day?
Yes. Supposedly it will be included on the Blu-ray, which comes out in, I think, September, I want to say. But as with most of the Marvel stuff, I want to know if they're going to do a Phase 2 box set.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because
I don't know. I don't know if the first box set sold well enough.
I think it did, but they had problems with the casing, because evidently the case that it was based on was copyrighted and they had to recall them. Now, I know Dave's got a copy of it.
Ooh.
So I'd like to know what they could do for the case. Like, I'm trying to think, what the hell could they even put it in? Captain America's shield, maybe?
The Infinity Gauntlet? I don't know.
Oh, man. That would be the set. If you had the entire MCU in one, that would be the Infinity Gauntlet. Fuck, that'd be awesome. I know they did one for Wolverine, where it was like his claws, and that was the entire X-Men franchise. I think minus Days of Future Past, which, oh yeah, that reminds me, in other Marvel news, the Rogue Cut from Bryan Singer comes out in July. So there's the whole 5 minutes of Rogue scenes that were cut out.
But I think there's more, though. It's more than just that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what they're going to add to that. So I know I'll pick it up because I'm a sucker for collector's editions and different cuts. Obviously, I'll be picking this up, like I said, when it comes out on Blu-ray. Ant-Man, I suspect that should be out around November, December. It'll definitely be out before holiday. What's the next big movie for next year? Does it start with Civil War, then Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe Doctor Strange is after.
Although, I think he gets a cameo before that.
Yeah,
from what I understand, he gets something beforehand. So, I don't know. I'm very interesting to see how the Marvel Universe plays itself out. I really think they stand at an interesting point now where they're either going to keep the momentum going and up the ante, or we're going to start to see a drop at some point along the way. Because this was supposed to be... Age of Ultron was supposed to be a 5 out of 5, and everybody likes it, but they didn't love it.
Right.
Which is not a problem, but it's definitely a crack in the armor. Not a chunk, but a crack. So, I guess before we close things out here, let's talk about Suicide Squad for just, like, a couple minutes here. What do you think from what you've seen?
Oh, okay. So, it seems like they have an issue with character design, because that's all we've really seen, and I don't think the character designs are done well. Not because it's just for, like, it looks bad. It seems like there's a problem of trying to sum up an entire character in a design instead of having a simple design and then having the character's performance create the character, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, the actor's performance create the character.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a disconnect in that regard, I feel, because they're just trying to overdo with their character designs. Not for everyone, mind you. I'm mainly talking about the Joker and Harley Quinn. It seems like everyone else has, like, an all right performance and all right character design. Although Killer Croc looks killer stupid.
See, I don't mind him. I don't think it's a terrible look. It's more grounded in reality. But I would have much more appreciated the Arkham Asylum look for him. That would have been really cool, but...
Yeah.
I can see why. I think Deadshot looks cool.
Deadshot does look pretty cool.
Harley Quinn, I'm okay with it. All things considered, I'm okay with it. A lot of people are like, she doesn't look like that. Like, guys, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of the cast looks okay. Katana looks a little out of place, I think.
Yeah, I don't... She's not really a villain, at least historically.
Yeah, it's just... Like, all right, I'll bite. I mean, I guess we'll have to... I mean, does this movie come out next year? Is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
So it'll be in the same year as Dawn of Justice, a.k.a. Who Gives a Fuck. Trying to think, what else to say? What else to say about superhero movies that we haven't already said? Okay, so we've talked about Cap. We've talked about Ultron. We've talked about Suicide Squad. Dawn of Justice. Haven't heard anything more about that. I imagine there'll be something at Comic-Con this year. They'll probably show, like, a scene off or something.
Yeah.
That would be my thing. In fact, I'd like to see what Comic-Con's going to look like this year in terms of big movies. Because I think Marvel said they're not going.
That's weird.
You know what? If Marvel held their own Comic-Con-level event, it would be successful. Especially with the height and the hype of the MCU right now. And if you set that in New York City, it'd sell out in days, if not minutes. If they said, okay, guys, we're gonna rent out some huge convention center for 3 days. They bring all the comic book people. They bring as many of the actors as they can. They show the first episode of AKA Jessica Jones. And they have an... You know what they do? They bring Joss Whedon and Robert Downey Jr. and some other people, and they're going to do a live commentary for Age of Ultron. You know how quickly that would sell?
Oh, for sure. That would be pretty amazing.
And you donate the profits to, I don't know, orphans or something. I promise you, Marvel's goodwill would jump through the ceiling on that one. Sky's the limit. So there you go, Marvel. That's a freebie. I'll see my check in the mail. All right, so next time on Movie Madness, you know what I kind of want to talk about? I saw this movie the other night. I really like it. I would love to talk about Goodfellas.
As long as I remember as a kid. I can't do the line. Yes, I want to talk about Goodfellas.
I love that movie because...
It's really good.
Do I amuse you? So anyway, guys, so yes, next time on Movie Madness, hopefully it'll be me, Robuck, and somebody else will be talking about that. And this month on The Topic Show, me and Robuck are going to be talking about the history of home media from VHS, Betamax, Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-ray, and beyond. Look for that later in the month. Should be a fun time. So, for Movie Madness, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I'm Andrew Roebuck.
We really need some kind of an outro on this.
I know. Doodle, doodle, doodle. Bye.
ever see me make bubbles with my spits?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. But I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.